shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Yeah, what's happening, everybody? Happy Monday! Happy Monday! Happy Monday! What's going on? It's your boy Chef Ron here, Plum Love Foods Live, right here on a Monday night on Spreaker Radio, TuneIn Radio, pretty much everywhere. You know where you can find this damn show. Thank you guys all for tuning in. We really truly appreciate that. And of course, maybe you're not tuning in live. Maybe you're checking the program out on a Tuesday morning. The show is brought to you for free every week, straight down to your phone. If you subscribe and rate and review and all those things on iTunes or any place else you get your podcast from, you get this very, very program for free once a week, brought to you. So please, hey, if you got 2 seconds, give us a rating, give us a review. We really appreciate it. It helps with something called the algorithm. That's right, algorithm. And I can't spell that word, but that's what it helps with very, very much. Tonight, I'm joined by none other than one of the best co-hosts around. Oh, there it is. That's the sound I'm looking for. Can you guys hear that? I hear it. The one, the only, Chef Dave Borda. Dave, good evening, brother. What's happening? How are you?
Doing pretty good. How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. I got your intro music there, but you still can't hear it yet, but it's coming.
I imagine it when I get, you know, I'm about to come in, I hear it. So
you
it's
know
in
it's
my head.
There, right?
Right.
You hear it. It's coming. Dude, we got a fun show tonight, man. It's all about cocktails, man. You a cocktail guy?
I am, actually. I just don't know how to make them, but I am all about drinking them.
I think you're just an alcohol guy. Does that sound about right?
That's fair. That's fair.
That's fair. That's fair. We're talking to our good buddy, friend of the program. He's been on a couple of times. Matt Corey is going to be on the show tonight. He's the founder of the New York Cocktail Expo, a fun event that is all about cocktails here in the New York City area. So it's a lot of fun to talk to guys like that, especially Matt. He's quite the character, and he's a super nice guy. So looking forward to chatting with him in a few minutes. But Dave, what's going on with you, man? Everything good? How's the week treating you? Just getting started? I guess this is your day off. This is your Saturday night, right?
Yeah, and then back at it tomorrow, Wednesday off, and then work till next week. Got 2 days off, so I'm excited.
Same schedule I've got this week, man. That's all right. I'm doing a dinner on Thursday for with my good buddy Chef Rob Prado out in Montauk for Lululemon Whalebone Magazine, which is a pretty well-known magazine here on the East Coast, and a bunch of pro surfers out on the beach Thursday evening. How about that? That's going to be fun.
Yeah, that sounds pretty awesome.
All local food, too. I'm doing a banging-ass striped bass dish. I'm really excited about it.
Nice. What are you doing with it?
We are going to I'm going to pan sear it super hard so it gets that nice crunchiness on the outside. I'm going to make a roasted corn beurre blanc over a cauliflower puree and these baby carrots I get from this awesome local farm. They're like heirloom baby carrots, so they're like yellow and purple and orange. They're beautiful. And we're going to put that on there, and then we're going to top it with some fried corn silk. So it's really like, you know, has that height and that crunchiness to it.
Nice. That sounds really good.
Yeah, it'll be a dope dish. I'm super excited about it, man. We'll do some stuff from it. Maybe I'll try to do some Instagram lives or something from that event. So it should be fun because Rob will be cooking some food. I'll be cooking some food and all the things, man. Just all the things. Oh, you were drinking there. You weren't prepared.
Yes.
You weren't prepared there. Yeah, so it should be a good event, man. I'll tell you what, the whole week is looking like a fun week. It's becoming one of those things where I'm almost getting, I feel like I'm spoiled. Like I come home. I love being home. I love being home with my family. I love being home with the kids. But I spend all week in paradise, like out the beach, just making amazing food. There's just beautiful people everywhere. But my question for you, Dave, is I'm not sure if it's just here or maybe it's out where you live as well. Bathing suits these days, man. Have you noticed bathing suits these days on women?
Yeah, I've actually been going to the beach a lot lately.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't have a beach really, but yeah.
It's a beach, bro.
No ocean.
You know what? It's a third of the world's fresh water, so it's a beach.
All right, well, fine. I'll give you that. But I'm definitely not drinking that water. How about that?
That's fair.
But what's up with the bathing suits now that are halfway up someone's ass? I mean, they're not even really leaving a whole lot under the tree for Christmas, so to speak. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. There's definitely no room for imagination, but I've also noticed my swimming trunks are getting a lot shorter.
What
so
I wait. That's not at all where I wanted to go with this, but are you serious?
Yeah, they're getting shorter and brighter because I don't.
Okay, well, I just want to point out to everybody, Dave is almost a legit 7-footer. Dave is 300 pounds of lean, mean fighting machine, legit 7 feet tall with a beard that is 5 feet long from his chin. And he's at the beach in some short Daisy Dukes that are bright pink. What is happening?
It's neon Hawaiian print, actually.
What is happening?
So there's like little like hula girls that are neon and like all kinds of cool stuff. I'll send you a picture.
No, I don't want a picture.
No, just the shorts, not me and them.
I don't want any of that. I don't want nothing to do with that. I'm going to see
there's little
like
ukuleles on it.
Something gummy and hairy sticking out from those pants. I don't want anything to do with that. That's terrible. I know that joke. I've been there. I've seen that. They're going to pull one over on your boy here. But here's the point. The reason why I'm asking all that is that comes down to when you're at the beach, are you having drinks? Are you having beers? What do you drink when you go there? Or are you one of those guys who is drinking like the hard iced teas, which fuck those people? No disrespect.
Nah, if I'm at the beach and I am drinking, it'll usually be beer because if I'm at the beach, I'm there all day.
So you're doing
so
beer.
I don't want to. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I don't know. I think I'm more of a beer guy too, but maybe that evening after being. Are you a wine? Will you do wine like rosé or something?
Yeah, I'll do. Well, I won't. I'll do like. Honestly, I'll do like probably a port at the beach. I know that's kind of heavy, but it's.
What is wrong with you? I can't wait to tell Matt you said that so he can yell at you too. A port at the beach?
Yeah. Or like, yeah, pretty much. Or a Moscato if I'm like wanting something fruity.
What are you doing?
Yeah, because like sometimes I don't have a cooler.
You got really far away there. We didn't hear you, but.
There we go.
It sounds awful.
Better?
Ugh, I don't know. It's not better because you said port. I don't want anything to do with that. You can't drink port while you're at the beach.
Yeah, you can. You can drink anything at the beach, but.
Dude, you've got a terrible connection right now. I think it's your headset. Try plugging it in and replug it because it's got feedback like a champion. Port at the beach. There you go. Much better. I definitely think I'm more of a beer guy. I enjoy beer at the beach. I'm terrible again, dude.
Terrible again, dude.
I think I'm definitely going to go with beer for myself, but I'll do cocktails that evening. That's the plan. Cocktails in the evening for me. Nope, that headset's awful. Yeah. I think you gotta lose the headset altogether, dude. Well, until Dave gets that figured out, I'm gonna mute it. I think for myself personally, I'm gonna stay with having a beer at the beach or having some rosé at the beach. That's my preference. I like those two things that are refreshing and cold. You can't drink something at the beach, especially if you're a chef after working all day, working super like long hours and whatnot, and then you come back after working those hours, you go to the beach, and then what, someone's going to give you a glass of port? That sounds terrible. I want nothing to do with that. Dave, are you really drinking port at the beach? No? Well, me either, because it's just not good. You know, I'm getting out here on the chat, which we do have a chat. I didn't ever know we had, but a summer ale is always the way to go as well, man. Those things are delicious because you want something clean, you want something nice, you want something fresh and refreshing. At least that's what I want. So I'm going to go with a summer ale at the beach. You know, but kind of like what I'm doing right now is you know, like a Moscow Mule, like a ginger beer type drink, something more refreshing. That's what I'm kind of into. Easy, simple, clean, refreshing. That's definitely my cup of tea for sure. You know, I don't want to go there and sit there and drink something heavy and disgusting and just, I don't know. I don't know anybody could even do that, you know. I've seen people who go there and drink those, you know, almost wine cooler type drinks, but not for me, man, not for me. Or those, what do they call those like seltzers? You've seen sparkling seltzers? I can't drink sparkling seltzers either. And we're trying to get Dave back on the phone right now, so I'm talking to nobody, but I'm talking to you guys. But, you know, a sparkling seltzer is just gross altogether. Again, one of those things that it's nice for the first couple tastes, unless we can find one that actually has real flavor, because a lot of those taste almost like artificial, you know, artificial. I got a message here in the chat. Dimitri's talking about he'd like to have a Guinness at home while kicking back. But again, Guinness is one of those drinks too. I can't have that at the beach. That's kind of gross too. That's a little bit Mike's Hard Lemonade, any of those things, not really my thing. I get how they can be refreshing, but not good. I had a guy give me a my guy at my wine shop convinced me to buy these. They're called hoop teas. They're absolutely disgusting. It's like a green, alcoholic green tea. I've never seen anything like it in my life. It's just, yeah, no thanks, man. None of those things. Well, listen, while we get Dave back, why don't I go ahead and bring on another good brother here who's going to be on the program tonight with us, my good buddy Matt Corey. I'll tell you what, Matt is one of those guys who I met, fortunate enough to meet, while eating chicken wings and tasting cocktails and drinking beers. I feel like every time I saw Matt for about a year and a half, all we did was drink. I'm pretty sure I didn't even really know his name was Matt until the first year or so that we've been hanging out. So, Dave, do I got you back, Dave? Dave thinks it's Morse code, so that's why he's tapping. So, no, I don't have Dave back. But I think I've got my friend Matt Corey joining me on the program right now from the New York Cocktail Expo. You got to make sure you check this out. August 19th, happening at the Melrose Ballroom in New York, the New York Cocktail Expo. Joined right now by the one, the only, Mr. Matt Corey. Matt, good evening, brother. How are you? I'm good, man. Your connection sounds great, finally. Your connection. Now your connection sounds great, dude. Happy to have
okay.
you, brother.
We are on the air. It's all working. Thank you. Thank you for having me, man. I love to join you in. Always love talking with you, so cheers.
Dude, absolutely, you too. And I want to point out, I haven't told everybody yet, but I want to bring you on and tell you too, we just did our Brooklyn Live show, the second episode of Brooklyn Live over at Station Head. They're a partner with Spotify and Apple Music. That episode actually is going to be live here on this feed for Plum Love Foods. It's going to be live at 11 o'clock, so it'll be there. So you can actually hear that episode if you missed it. Last Tuesday. If you missed it, it'll be here. You can catch it. You can download it and everything else. Usually, Matt, what I do is make that the episode for the week, but I knew it was you. The expo's coming up, so I said, you know what? We'll do two this week. We'll have Matt on the show right now for sure.
Oh, yeah, man. Absolutely. Ooh. Thanks for having me, dude. I will talk with you twice a week for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Adds joy, and it just raises the quality of my life, sir.
Dude, you're putting me over way too much. And, you know, so I guess we'll just get it out there and talk about it a little bit right now. Of course, the New York Cocktail Expo coming up very, very soon. August 19th, man. You've always been the wing guy to me. This Cocktail Expo thing kind of came out of nowhere just a couple years ago, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, food and beverage, right?
Yeah.
I had my start in music, as you know, and rock bands and everything. And, you know, doing that, and it was a tradition to go have chicken wings and beer afterwards. And, you know, my whole upbringing, my father was a cook, my mother was a cook, and doing more traveling and eating places, I started to really just dig into my foodie thing and drinky thing. And speaking of which, there's actually something special being blended in the home bar right now. I hear it going. But that just brought me to more stuff in Brooklyn and New York City, and I started to drink cocktails a few years ago, and I said, man, this is delicious. This is sort of, it's something new. I had been drinking a lot of craft beer, and, you know, I had soured my palate with a lot of IPAs, too many IPAs.
Oh, dude.
I was like, this is just like cooking, you know, there's ingredients and there's technique and everything. So I started to fall in love with cocktails and doing a lot of events on Long Island. Long Island definitely needed some love with craft spirits at that time for all the bar programs out there. And so I said, I got to do a cocktail festival along with my Wing Fest. And that's what I did back in 2016.
Man. Nice. Dave, we got you there, Dave?
Can you hear me?
Now we can hear you. Listen.
Hey.
We got him back.
Hey, back.
Matt, before we go any further, I don't know if you heard this jackass. He made a comment and then he, like, snipered me. He made the comment and then ran. He said he drinks port wine while he's at the beach. What?
Well, okay. You know, each his own. That's not the first thing I'd like to imbibe on the beach. I'm more of a, you know, Tom Collins, more of a, you know, Aperol Spritz, session beers, definitely Moscow Mules, as you said, doing some rum punches. Those are my beach kind of drinks, you know?
Nice, nice. Hey, tell me what Aperol is. I see it's kind of becoming very trendy.
Well, it's an aperitivo. I mean, it's been around for a while. You know, like Campari, it's like a bitter aperitivo. So when you make an Aperol Spritz, I mean, this is a very popular drink now. Basically, what you're going to do is, you know, it's a bitter taste with a sweet sort of finish. If you have Campari, that's going to be a bit more abrupt and in your face. But, you know, you have that a bit with some Prosecco, some seltzer. Very nice, refreshing drink. You garnish it with some orange zest or an orange slice. Really, really refreshing. A little bit bitter, but finishes sweet. And you start to drink them, you just can't stop.
They're Dave, that's what you should be drinking, Dave, right there.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to give that a try.
You're a spritzer guy. And Matt, I wish you could see, because Dave is legit. Dave is 7 feet tall with a giant beard, and he's just saying that he goes to the beach wearing the bright like Hawaiian shorts that are getting shorter and shorter. I think he should totally be drinking a spritzer.
You know what? Hey, look. You know, I mean, it's a funny visual, I will say. Yeah. But you know what?
It's all tattooed, which is awesome.
We are good. Yeah. Oh, forget it. Aperol spritz all day. Super, super tough. No, look, man. I don't care. I don't go for that stuff. This is a girly drink. That's a girly drink. There's booze in them dar hills. You're drinking something, you know. Enjoy yourself. I don't go for any of the stigmas. Cocktails are definitely permeating culture. More and more guys are trying to start other drinks. You know, there's also, you know, you're a beer drinker. People are doing craft beer cocktails. They're making cocktails and they're pouring beers on top of them. IPAs, pilsners, stouts, brown ales. And they're sort of merging the worlds of cocktail spirits, juices, ingredients with beers. So I don't think there's any stigmas. Enjoy what you want. Because you're just seeing a lot of cocktail culture permeate the country, and it's hard to go anywhere without finding some sort of a cocktail program or a cocktail menu nowadays.
Joined tonight by Matt Corey, founder of the NY Cocktail Expo, coming up August 19th at the Melrose Ballroom. For tickets and more info, check out nycocktailexpo.com.
Nice. I like how you said the .com. That was good. That was awesome. He's getting good, those plugs, man.
.com. New York Cocktail Expo is now on the top 40 list for Billboard magazine. Casey Kasem coming to you live from NewYorkCocktailExpo.com.
Yeah, I forgot that Matt has an amazing radio voice. You've done some voiceover work too. But listen, I got to ask you, man, because you're definitely more the cocktail guy, but you and I have had several beers together, and I just mean several, not very many, like 200 or 300. In our friendship together. But it really has become a thing now where every single person on the planet that brews beer, because micro brews are everywhere now. Like when you and I were a little bit younger, it wasn't quite the thing it is now. I mean, here in Connecticut, I think we have 92 at this point, which is crazy. I'm not even making that number up. We have 92 breweries. But
wow.
It's insane. And most of them make pretty good products.
It's an explosion, right?
So. Yeah. And most of them make good product. But everybody now is hopping the shit out of everything. And, dude, I can't drink these, like, double IPAs. I drink one, take two sips, and next thing you do, I want to drink a Miller Lite because I'm still fucking thirsty.
Yeah, you hit it on the nose. It's so funny. You know, the reason I got into drinking craft beer, to be honest with you, years ago is because I started to get migraine headaches two sips after a Coors Light or a Corona or a Budweiser, Michelob. I couldn't drink those beers anymore because I literally would get migraines after a couple of sips the same night.
Wow.
And that led me. I was drinking Smirnoff Ice for a while because.
And ladies and gentlemen, make sure you check out Matt Corey. We'll talk to him later. Ew.
So you know, and then it was like that stuff actually made me tired and pass out, like so dreary and just would doze off. But then I moved on to Guinness and I started to enjoy the stout.
Yeah.
And then I just started, you know, I had living in California at that time, moved back to New York. Started getting into the wing thing, and then of course I was turned on to all the breweries popping up on Long Island, so I started drinking. Then I was like, oh, I like IPAs, and I drank IPA straight for 2 years, you know, this IPA, double IPA, APA, all this, you know. And after that, my tongue was like, no more. I couldn't drink it with food. I couldn't have it with food. It was ruining my food. And so my favorites were nut brown ales, you know, amber ales, red ales, and IPAs, and now I drink pilsners. I drink pilsners, and I tell you what, all the breweries out there, if you can make a solid pilsner, a really good pilsner, then I respect, because there's so much more leeway and playroom to screw up when you're making a pale ale and an IPA. You can stylize it and go, oh, that's how it's supposed to taste. But there's no wiggle room when you're making a pilsner. There's no wiggle room. You really got to dial it in and have a strong flavor. And to me, that's beer, a lager and a pilsner. And now I'm drinking pilsners.
Yeah.
And
pilsners are great. They're light, a little bit of hop still. but light, but kind of almost have that, like, you know, that clean, almost corn kind of thing going on with it. It's very refreshing, you know?
Yeah, these are the session beers. This is, you know, summertime. It's hot out. I want a Pilsner. I enjoy drinking a Peroni. You know, I have Two Roads makes a really good Pilsner.
Hey, great friends of mine. You know,
yeah, Radeberger, Braven. You know, there are more brands that are releasing Pilsners now. But, hey, look, you're going to go into bars. They're going to have, like, tons of IPA. And it's almost like, we may have one Pilsner. And I'll have a Stella, you know.
Yeah. Two Roads, you know, is brewed about 15 miles from my house. I've become pretty good friends with those guys. I've done two dinners with them where we built a kitchen in their brewery, and we won awards for them.
Yeah.
Forward-thinking people, great brewery.
Absolutely. Connecticut.
Yeah. Right up in Stratford, not too far. You know who else makes a great Pilsner? It's the Mermaid Pilsner by, who makes that?
Coney Island.
Yeah.
Coney Island.
That's good stuff, man.
Yeah, they were our official beer sponsor at the New York Best Wings Festival in 2015. You know, that event with over 7,000 people back there. So all those...
Hang on, you dropped something here. Let me pick that up for you.
What happened?
You're dropping the 7,000 people at your event. There you go, which is pretty fucking badass. It's a good event, man. It was an amazing event. Such a fun time.
Yeah, that event was intense, man. People came from all over Long Island, all over New York, all over the tri-state area, close to Philly. They were driving up for this Wing Fest. It was definitely like the road trip Wing Festival, and we definitely made history here for a Wing Fest on Long Island for sure.
Yeah, how does that happen, man? You do an event like that of that magnitude, of that size. I mean, and Dave, literally, that's 7,000 people you had come to this event. It was wall-to-wall people. Tons of vendors. I mean, tons and tons and tons of wings. A shit ton of people there. Such a fun event. You got to check out one of these, Dave, when you get down here, man. But honestly, Matt, when you do these kind of events, I mean, do you expect it to be that big? Or do you, you know, hey, we expected 3,000 people and we got 7.
We were planning for 5,000 people that time. And the event went viral. You know, it just went super viral. We, you know, we had done all these things, and I think our marketing was just on point. We were doing a lot of really solid video stuff that was comical, and a lot of really good wing porn footage that got everybody psyched. And I think our message was like, this is the big coming together of the big wing championship, and whatever we put down, people picked up and they came out. So yeah, when 7,000 people came down, we may not have been exactly ready for that, but we certainly did everything possible. And And people loved that event. They were like, that was the best food event ever to hit Long Island. So we were certainly psyched. Our sponsors were so psyched about it. But since then, I have done smaller events to my own desire and to my own what I would like to do. That's a big undertaking. It's a lot of folks. You need some more manpower. And I do have sort of a skeleton crew when I run these events. So
yeah. Well, they're great events, man. That's one of the things. Is like these events have become such a fun thing for you, and you've gotten so good at doing them that you even got asked to go judge the big Wing Festival up in upstate New York, didn't you?
That's right. I became an official judge at the National Buffalo Wing Festival in Buffalo, New York, home of the chicken wing, Buffalo Wing, which is the official U.S. Wing Championships. Dude, so that was an honor when I got the call from Drew Serza, the Wing King, who did go head-to-head with Bobby Flay. That's how he got his name, the Wing King.
Nice.
He called me up. He loved what we were doing out here in the East, and it was like East meets West. It was like the road to the best wings, all the way from the East to the West. So going there, you know, you're dealing with, what is it? It's 40,000 to 50,000 people who attend.
Holy shit, are you serious?
More, actually, no. What am I talking about? Last year was up to 80,000 attendees over 2 days.
Wow.
You're talking about 60 tons of wings. And when you judge the event, you have to eat so many wings. it's tire wing. It's exhaust wing.
Oh, fuck. Here we go. I forgot you do that.
Oh, gosh. Now, I haven't done wing buns in a long time.
No. But it really did. It puts you kind of on the map, being able to do that sort of stuff and go and be a part of such a giant competition and be a judge at that. And I mean, it's amazing to judge even the ones I've gotten had the opportunity to judge. But I can't imagine on such a big level like that. I mean, you had to feel pretty amazing about that.
Oh, I loved it. For me, it was the homecoming. It was the Mecca. It was like, wow, you know, I've really made it here in Wings and made my voice heard, and here I am at the National Buffalo Wing Festival. And I'm not sure, as far as wing judging goes, that you can get on a higher tier than that. So it was definitely an honor. It was an honor just to go and show up. You walk into Coca-Cola Field and you see all these people, and you see Joey Chestnut, you know, winning, you know, the U.S. wing eating championships. And you're like, this is it. This is the Super Bowl of wings, and I'm here. And like, oh, it was an incredible experience. It absolutely was an incredible experience. But from that stuff, it brought me opportunity. You know, stuff started to fall into my lap. As you and I were talking about a while ago, I was one of the last three guys to shoot with scripts for Now with the New Man vs. Food. I had a call to audition. I did a Skype interview. There were several hundred people that auditioned, and I was one of the finalist three to shoot. And I was literally almost the New Man vs. Food host there.
You'd have been great. I think you'd have been great at that.
Well, certainly, yeah, the eating. I'm a big eater. So they said, they were like, you know, I suffer to comedy. I do a lot of comedy stuff in what I do. And they were like, man, you really did the best at eating almost every, you know, plate that was served. They served me something at Houston Hall, which was three cheeseburgers stacked on top of each other and a pound of fries underneath. And I almost ate the whole thing. So
damn right.
It was awesome, man. Yeah.
Well, I mean, honestly, I think that one of my favorite things about the whole thing is just the different varieties of things we got to taste at that Wing Festival, man. As a chef, being able to taste different people's takes on it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, now we've added the dessert wing category. So last Wing Festival, we saw funnel cake wings, cotton candy wings, stuff like that.
I was so pissed, man. You asked me to do it, and I had to work.
I mean, yeah, cotton candy wings. Can you imagine? It was like smoked barbecue cotton candy wings. Somebody else did a salted caramel chicken wing also, which was really good. Dessert wing category is starting to pop up. I mean, I kind of started getting onto that when I went to New Jersey with, you know, friends Rev, Adam Pock. They were doing their own wing exploration for what's called the NYC Wing Off.
Couple of and good we brothers went out right there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Close friends and good wing hunting in the wing hunting community. And we had, like, you know, Nutella, was a Nutella wing with crushed walnuts and candied bacon. And I was just like, wow. You know, an eye opener. Dessert wings. I was like, you know, chicken and waffles is the gateway to dessert wings. Everyone gets chicken and waffles. But when they hear peanut butter and jelly and chicken wings covered in Nutella, they sort of go, what's that all about? But it's really native. Chicken wings can be any flavor, anything. It's a blank canvas. You can put any flavor into it, just like water, which is now like why at home I'm actually making lower alcohol cocktails. I'm actually making water cocktails, believe it or not, things like that. Yeah. Chicken wings are that blank canvas that you can do anything with. So it's getting pretty creative.
Have you noticed, like, certain regions having their own style?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, to be fair, the most creative chicken wings that I had were in the Hudson Valley area here. There's also another Wing Fest out there that a friend of mine runs. You know, we're all friends in the wing organizing community also. It's the Hudson Valley Wing Fest. And I had some really good stuff there. We made buffalo wings, but it was like a buffalo chicken cheese dip wing, which was super good. A raspberry cheesecake wing with a golden graham cracker crust. That was super delicious. I mean, I go to that event. I haven't been in a couple years now, but if you're in that area, I recommend that you attend. Just a ton of amazing wings. So
up in the Hudson Valley.
Yeah, Hudson Valley, New York. You see a lot of creativity going on. I think it's great.
Man. Hey, so we kind of glazed over there because we were still talking wings, and I love wings, and I can't wait. And actually, before asking my question, just to segue out of it, is there going to be a New York Wing Expo this year, a New York Best Wings Festival, or is it not happening?
I didn't run it this year. I wanted to. I've run 9 to 10 chicken wing festivals. So I said I'm going to kind of not do this year, and I really just wanted to focus on the New York Cocktail Expo for New York City, because this is our biggest show yet. We have some super heavy hitters coming to this show. And this is actually quite historic what's going on. We are, not only do we have, you know, there's going to be 20 bars from New York City, Brooklyn, Queens going for best cocktail of 2018. All the boroughs are going head to head, so it's a serious deal. And we have a 30 to 40 craft distillery is going to be coming down doing spirit tasting.
Oh, nice.
Bars. And we have, there's something happening right now in tiki, in the tiki drink world.
Yeah, you know, I thought I was going to go next, as a matter of fact. So go, that's a great segue, man. Get into it, because you had a lot of tiki information when we were in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I'm actually drinking a tiki drink right now. My wonderful girlfriend, Nikki, has blended us up a drink called the Missionary's Downfall.
Okay, first of all, Nikki didn't blend me anything, and I wish she did. I'm upset about that. I'm sitting here drinking a Moscow Mule in honor of you, brother. But Nikki, you left me hanging here. I'm upset about that.
Well, I'm sure you'll forgive it. We'll have to make you one fresh when we come to Amagansett.
There you go. I'm not forgiving anybody, though. Anyway, sorry. Dave, hang on a second. Dave, did you get a mixed drink from Nikki or no?
I did not.
Yeah, this is not good. Matt.
Yeah, it's not good.
Hospitality, right? Hospitality.
I'm sorry, Matt. All right, so talk about the tiki stuff.
I won't drink it in front of you. Just pretend like you can't see me. No, wait.
Oh,
anyway,
shit. He'll be here all week, folks. Matt Corey, first show is different than the second. Make sure you tip your waitress. Try the veal.
So tiki drinks.
Yeah,
I think tiki has come back into popularity, not just with the cocktail revolution, but with Instagram. I got to be honest, because tiki drinks are full of flair. They've got crazy garnishes. They're all about being about escapism and looking cool, and the glassware and the mugs and everything and all the flavors. So tiki is really happening right now, and for the first time, there's enough tiki bars and people doing tiki drinks in New York City that we are now holding the official tiki throwdown cocktail competition for New York at the New York Cocktail Expo. This is a big deal. It's the first time it's happened, so it's a huge deal. This is now the official tiki competition for New York. And I'm proud. I'm so proud that we've organized it. And I look at them like, this is amazing. You got bars like Mother of Pearl. You have Patent Pending, which is a new speakeasy. Dromedary Bar, which is an urban tiki bar in Brooklyn. There's New Jersey is coming out for this one. Cellar 335, wow. Team with Real McCoy Rum. Kill Devil, House of Dark Spirits, has just opened up in Williamsburg, which is a killer cocktail bar with tons of rums and drinks going on. Paradise Lounge NYC is teaming up with Plantation Rum. Rum Fire is throwing down an overproof white Jamaican rum. Pusser's Rum, the iconic rum that's made in the Painkiller cocktails, teaming up with Osamil, and the list goes on. This is like the super, super tiki competition that's there. So I was like, I'm putting all my weight into this. I want to do this fest and make a killer. And that's why. I'm just so excited about it.
Man, it comes across too when you talk. Dave, doesn't it sound like something awesome we should go to?
Yeah, I think we should definitely check that out.
Well, we'll get your ass here. We should go broadcast live from the New York Cocktail Expo. That'd be badass. I mean, listen, especially the tiki part. Here's the thing. For those of you who don't know, Brooklyn Live, the second episode happened on Stationhead a couple days ago, and Matt came down for the event, and obviously talking about New York Cocktail Expo. He was making cocktails with Pusser's Rum, a great rum. But my wife happened to be there. Matt, you got to meet my wife finally for the first time.
And yeah, that was.
I'm doing well for myself. I'm happy about that. But you know, so you were there. I got to meet her, and tonight all she wanted to do was recreate that painkiller drink. That was the coconut rum drink you had made with the Pusser's Rum, right?
Yeah, it's a simple recipe. Some tiki drinks can be a little convoluted with a lot of components. But this drink is really 2 ounces of the Pusser's Rum, an ounce of coconut cream, an ounce of orange juice, 4 ounces of pineapple juice, shaken, poured over crushed ice with some grated nutmeg, and you are going to be smiling ear to ear. It is
nutmeg.
Delicious.
Nutmeg. That's what we didn't have, the fucking nutmeg. That's awesome.
That's a key component, you know, because the garnish, you know, whatever, people do a pineapple leaf or a pineapple wedge or an orange, and that's all cool. But really all you need is that nutmeg to seal the deal.
Joined tonight by Matt Corey, founder of the NY Cocktail Expo, coming up August 19th at the Melrose Ballroom. For tickets and more info, go to nycocktailexpo.com.
Now, so Matt, the thing that's so fun about that is that whole thing we did at Brooklyn Live was a lot of fun. few technical issues, but it doesn't matter in the long run. That actual episode, like I said before, is going to be available at 11 p.m. here, right on the RSS feed here for Plum Love Foods Live. So if you subscribe, you're going to get that episode for free. So you're actually getting two episodes this week. If you didn't get enough of me, you're going to get 2 hours or a little bit more, maybe almost 3 hours of Chef Plum on your phone this week. But Matt was there mixing cocktails up, hanging out. We had a great cocktail competition with Jamie Sire. How cool was she?
No, she was very cool. It was a pleasure to meet her. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. It was a lot of fun. I'm glad you came out there. So that'll be there, too. You can get the link, and Matt, I'll give it to you. Make sure you get the link as well so you have it, and you can send it over to Pusters because they're good people, and that rum is fantastic. But, you know, that's one of the things that it's interesting because you do these expos, and you meet so many cool cocktail people. And by cocktail, I mean, like, spirit people, like whether it's a big name, like a Captain Morgan's, all the way down to someone who's a smaller local distillery, like a spirit maker, like an Asylum, buddies of mine out of Bridgeport. I mean, when you meet these people, do you see a lot of difference from the bigger ones to the smaller ones? Not in a good way or bad way, but is there a difference?
You mean in personality and what's
kind of in their mentality, in their willingness to participate and be a part of events like this?
Well, you know, we were just talking about the craft beer boom and all the breweries and everything, and those people take a lot of pride in their beer. And these are like, you know, micro distilleries, craft distilleries, small batch stuff. Yeah. And they take a lot of pride in their product because it's small, it's close to home. They love it. They're a part of it.
You and I did an episode of Edible Nutmeg on the Road where we actually went to Litchfield Distillery in Litchfield, Connecticut. Remember?
Yes, I do. That was great. And same thing. You can feel the passion in what they're producing. They're close to home. They're right there. They're making the stuff every day. And so there might be a different feel, but you're literally in the time of the craft spirit boom also right now. And sometimes I go to a cocktail bar and I see they've got a cocktail menu, and I look behind the bar and I'm like, hey, you know, this is like almost like I'm back in the 90s, which with the spirit collection. If you just come down, and that's what we're doing. We're a beverage trend expo. If you're working in a restaurant and you have a cocktail program and you're interested in upgrading that program, you got to come to the cocktail expo and start tasting these spirits and speaking with these folks that work at the distilleries and the reps, because, man, you know, you switch out one rum you had for a high-quality rum, for a Pusser's or for a Plantation, a real McCoy or a Rum JM, all of a sudden your daiquiri has transformed.
Wow. And, you know, one of the great examples of that. Yeah, I mean, at the Brooklyn Live, and you guys will hear us, and we're doing that show. It'll drop at 11 o'clock here on this feed. But you brought Pusser's rum. I'd never had it before, but man, that stuff was delicious.
Right, and didn't it completely get your wheels turning inside? Like, whoa, flavor! This
the things flavors do with that are it.
Going on. Yeah, and like I, you know, girl, you know, hey, look, man, in the 90s, like for me, it was like gin, Beefeater's gin, Tanqueray, this and that. Now I'm like, man, there's all these funky gins on the market that are like over.
For me, it was, Zima.
What? Something horrible.
Do you remember when we were kids? I don't know if you remember when we were kids. Matt, you and I are close to the same age. I might be a touch older than you, but do you remember when we were kids? At least where I grew up down south, there was a whole thing about Zima where they were trying to convince us, like, no. If you drink Zima, the cops can't catch it on your breath. Does anybody else remember that, or is that just me?
That never was going around. We just used to say it tasted like 7-Up.
Yeah, it tastes like 7-Up with, like, a mothball in it. But we used to always say that, of course, they tried to convince us that it's gross, that the cops, when they would shine the flashlight on you, their flashlight was a special bulb that your breath, when you breathed out, if you had alcohol on it, would come out yellow.
That's true. Well, I just checked Snopes, and I think that that's true. So I don't know if this is reliable. I think it's fake news now, but
shit.
You know what I mean? But hey, I don't know. I'd be interested to taste it again. I haven't tasted it in like 15, 20 years.
Oh, we should get a six-pack of Zima and taste it.
That I could, you know, I could top it on top of a Tom Collins and see what would happen. I don't know.
Dave, do they have Zima in Detroit or no?
Yeah, I saw it the other day. It's at like CVS even.
How much does Zima cost now? What is Zima like? Is it like $8 a six-pack, or is it up there with the $15 six-packs of beers now because it's a craft malt beverage?
I couldn't even tell you. I didn't check out the price. I looked at it. I'm like, nah, I'm all right. And just kind of kept moving.
It sounds terrible. I'm sorry, Matt. You were talking about beautiful, delicious, like craft rum, and I'm like, Zima.
Are you a Zima rep, Chef Plum?
Zima. I'm wearing hang on, let me adjust my Zima hat.
Yeah, great segue, right?
Holy shit. But, I guess.
Zima romper.
Yeah, well, believe it or not, I'm actually you're gonna appreciate this. It's a segue, and you're gonna see how much of a professional host I really am. The last real broadcaster ever in the world. The reason why I bring up Zima is because what? The last professional broadcaster, right? No,
all
right. The reason why I bring up Zima is because everything that was old is new again now. You're seeing all these things come back and become something that people like to drink now. It's almost like Miller High Life. When I used to buy it as a kid, I bought it because it was cheap. Now people buy it because it's ironic out in Brooklyn that, oh, I brought a six-pack of High Life and a six-pack of Zima. Yep. Like, everything that was old is new again. And I think you're seeing that more and more now, even with in the cocktail realm, right?
Yeah, you are. I was someplace today. It was a gastropub, and I'm just kind of in and out as I do. And there was a Brandy Alexander on the menu.
Wait, I took her to junior prom.
Okay, maybe they're doing a twist on this thing and reviving it. But you're right. Things are coming back. I'm starting to see retro glassware that you would have seen in the 80s and the 90s sort of being done with tiki drinks and other stuff like that.
The fishbowl drinks.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely a resurgence, but one thing always remains popular, you know, the old fashioned. You see an old fashioned cocktail on every cocktail menu, whether it's a cocktail bar or the gastro pub or even the dives now. They're having the old fashions. But I think yeah, old becomes new, new becomes old, things get recycled, and there's always kind of like this nostalgia. But if you're in Brooklyn, a few years ago was Pabst Blue Ribbon.
It's absolutely that was the beer for us culinarians and us restaurant people, right, Dave? Like we would fucking drink PBR.
Yeah, you can get you used to be able to get like an 18 pack of bottles for $11 out the door.
God, and now it's 26 because it's hip.
Yeah, it's upsetting.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Matt. I was just saying, I find myself now looking more to buy a bottle of vodka, or you can get like a nice good craft vodka for, you know, not that expensive, and it'll stretch a lot further.
Yeah, you can. I mean, like you said, you know, vodka is the type of spirit, if you're making drinks, you can just do a lot of flavor with, because it's not going to color your drink too much. You're making Moscow Mules, that's awesome. Right now, I'm actually right now trying to make my drinks healthier. With my work and going bar to bar, I've been taking in so much sugars, I've started to change my sweeteners at home. I'm using stevia, believe it or not, to make a simple syrup. I'm using coconut palm sugar, which the body digests better. And it doesn't like spike out your energies and leave a chemical in your palate. 100%, you know, organic raw honey, 100% pure maple syrup, things like that. And, you know, you're talking about making a Moscow Mule. Why don't you, instead of dumping ginger beer on the top, why don't you use kombucha? Use a healthy kombucha. You're getting
that's
some nutrients.
That's fucking fermented water. Gross tea. I'm not touching that shit. It's disgusting.
It's pretty good, though.
You've got a lot of ginger. There's a lot of great brands of kombucha out there. It basically tastes like a little sweeter of kind of like a ginger beer. And there's good nutrients in there and stuff. Because, look, you can look at your bar as sort of like, okay, alcohol. And this is a big conversation in the industry about low ABV drinks and drinks without alcohol.
Yeah.
And that's actually trending right now. And so for me, I'm into it. You know me, dude. I used to be a fitness dude. Yeah. I used to be all about working out. And now when I look at my bar, I'm like, well, you know, what about turmeric? What about grapefruit? What are the nutrients in these things I'm making? And how can I actually make a super delicious cocktail, maybe put a little bit of booze in there or top it off or float some booze, but it's actually going to make me feel amazing? Because when you think about drinking intellectually or drinking for nutrition in that way, not to sound too nerdy about it, I mean, there's so much potential there. And especially when you talk about tiki drinks and creative drinks, I mean, the possibilities are endless with this stuff. So for me, I'm trying to change how I'm looking at my bar and what I'm doing with it. And I think using craftier spirits, better made stuff supports that as well. So it's about using better products, craft things, which is happening right now, and starting to think differently about drinks. I'm in hospitality, man, and I kind of take hospitality to heart, and I always talk about it, and that's become my song. And I really think that taking care of people when they come and sit at your bar is a big deal. And I personally think an ounce and a half to 2 ounces of booze every drink is a lot, and that's actually the standard ratio for a cocktail, is an ounce and a half to 2 ounces of booze. You know, usually like 3/4 ounces of a sour, or an ounce and a quarter, or 3/4 ounce of the sweet. And this is your ratios that you see for a lot of things. And I'm like, people take a shot, that's an ounce. I know you're shooting it right to the system, And there's no juices and sweeteners in there, and that you absorb it differently. But hey, man, an ounce and a half to 2 ounces of booze is a lot. And if you're taking someone on a date or somebody that may not have high tolerance, they have two drinks, and all of a sudden they're not
good to go.
Well.
You're ready to have. Oh, I thought I was going to finish your sentence. Right.
You know, it's like
someplace different. I didn't follow. I thought we were on the same page, but we weren't. Go ahead.
So I truly think that you, at some point you make a distinction at your bar where, hey, look, am I making delicious drinks that people love, just like the dishes that are coming out of the kitchen, or am I trying to boost people up and find that happy medium? And that's where things are headed right now. It's trending low ABV and actually spirit-free cocktails.
Well, you're right on the point there. I think one of the fun things I've seen lately, especially with doing Restaurant Road Trip, you know, the traveling, you know, travelogue TV show that I do, you know, I always get into the cocktails at the bar when every restaurant we go to. Even the smaller ones have a great cocktail program. But there's one in particular out in West Hartford called Zohara. And their cocktail program's unbelievable, dude. They're making their own bitters and doing all that stuff. But they're also making cocktails with vegetable juices, which is amazing, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure you've seen that too, where they have this beautiful, like bourbon and beet juice goes together, like, harmoniously. It's crazy.
Yes. I am all about that. I really am. I think it's awesome. It's super delicious.
They have this infused rosemary simple syrup that goes in it. It's fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm. I'm all about rosemary too.
Yeah. And I was blown away by it, man. And you know, and here's the thing. And generally, for everybody who's listening, it's not going to be something that everybody wants to hear. But a great cocktail is going to cost some money, right? And so when you look at a great drink, if it's $18, $15, or whatever. I mean, honestly, if you're in a good place, it's probably a good drink. Like, they're not going to put shit in there. I know, for instance, over at Zohara, their drinks, it's not cheap, but I know for a fact, because I know the chef, I know the owners, I know everybody there, it's real. Like, when they tell you it's beet juice, they have a fucking juicer where they're juicing all their vegetables to make their cocktails with. It's a, they have this cardamom, it's a cardamom and some sort of, it's basically a cardamom and carrot drink, and it's got rum in it. It's so good. But they're actually juicing their vegetables and doing things the right way.
Yeah, it's all about fresh juices. I mean, if they're adding in stuff to drinks like that, I think that's great, you know, because maybe I'm being a health nerd or something, but, you know, you're getting your nutrients in and maybe you feel a little bit less guilty, but I like what's happening with the organic stuff. I think millennials are changing things a lot of ways. And I don't know. I think we're headed in a direction that's going to be more beneficial for people instead of, because, I mean, who wants to be, I mean, you're sitting there like 2, 3, 4 weeks, you're perfecting your drink as a bartender or, you know, quote unquote mixologist, you know, and is it really about when you serve that drink to your guests, you know, is it going to be about them saying, wow, this is a delicious drink, or do you want that to be the last sip they had before, you know, they got behind the wheel of a car or they had some alcohol rage fight with a loved one for reasons just because they were drunk. It's about making good drinks. It's not about boozing people. And that's where you start to think differently and you change culture. Once I started drinking low ABV and taking my tolerance went down. And a little bit of booze felt like a high octane cocktail. So if that's what bars started doing and changing over time, our culture literally right now has the tolerance of what we do. Ounce and a half, 2 ounces of booze, they're used to it. That's how people react to it. But if we all started to change in the industry and started to add more low ABV drinks, you'd start to see tolerance change, and we wouldn't have to be, you know, really having that much booze and drinks. I just think it's an old, at this point, maybe not there yet, but it's starting to become the older model for the older recipes of how you make drinks. The old standards. It's like a Frank Sinatra song. Wonderful, timeless. But, you know, hey, you know, now there's a, I don't know, who's popular? Drake. Kiki, do you love me? Come on. That's what I was saying on the Brooklyn show. All the drinks now are going Kiki. So, Kiki Tiki Throwdown.
So, the days of Long Island iced teas and Flamin' Dr. Peppers, you think, are almost behind us?
No, they are not. They're definitely not. I still am on Long Island quite a bit. And those vodka cranberries will never die, sir.
Vodka cranberries. You know, those Long Island iced teas were disgusting, man. I remember bartending in Applebee's when I was much, much younger, and everybody wanted that drink because they thought it had so much alcohol in it.
Yeah, it's a lot of booze in there. So, I don't know, man. I just think in when it comes to craft cocktails, it's about flavor. It's about being delicious. It's not about how much alcohol is in it. So, but even still, that's why every time I do an expo, I have new brands reaching out to me and like, I never heard of Bentham's gin. You know, I never knew about the, you know, Balcones bourbon. I didn't know about this product. And it's a part of my education. The expo literally represents me. I'm always learning. I'm always finding out about new spirits and being and having education. You know, we also offer seminars at the Cocktail Expo on August 20th. And so that's my passion, learning. And I love that we're in a craft spirit boom where there's all these new products. So if you're, you know, you're a beverage director, you're a bartender, you own a restaurant, you're in hospitality, you're not just coming to the expo to be like, hey, it's a Sunday fun day, we're going to be drinking for 4 hours. That's not what we're doing. It's literally educational, and you're going to taste a lot of things. You're going to go, whoa, my whole bar program is going to be updated. If just by bringing a few of these bottles behind my bar, we're going to start doing some craftier stuff, maybe help our price point and our bottom line, whatever it is for you. But I promise you, there's a lot of great stuff on the market now that you should start getting behind your bar, and you can see it at the New York Cocktail Expo.
You're checking out Plum Love Spoons, joined tonight by Matt Corey, founder of the New York Cocktail Expo, coming up August 19th. At the Melrose Ballroom. For tickets and more info, go to nycocktailexpo.com.
So what happens on the 20th, Matt? I know the expo itself's on the 19th, but what happens on the 20th? You guys have a whole bunch of stuff planned.
Yeah, so we do have some select seminars taking place. After the tastings on the 19th, we have a few presenters. We're not doing like 50 to 100 seminars, we think. We think we do a few focused highlights on the brands that are doing it, so they enjoy that quite a bit, not being lost in the sauce with like 100 other brands doing things. So we have a milk punch seminar taking place, which is a clarified sort of spirit, which a really interesting texture and a process. I'm going to go be learning about it. I'm taking the seminar, and our good friend Eamon Rocky, who has released Rocky's Milk Punch. He was a beverage director of the Michelin starred Bettany. He has a wonderful history. He was the executive judge last year at the Cocktail Expo. So he's going to be doing this seminar at a bar called The Last Word in Astoria. That's actually filled up. We have a waiting list right now. And we have at Dutch Kills, which is one of the top bars in New York, if not one of the best. They are doing a seminar on big ice. So they have an amazing ice program there where they're making clear ice, big, giant ice cubes, cutting them with machines. And they're going to be doing a seminar talking about how big ice is so key to your cocktail program. And that is just going to be a super popular. It's filling up right now. It's called Big Ice and Why Size Matters.
Nice.
So that's cool. And we also have Rum Fire. Rum Fire, which is that white Jamaican. Taken overproof rum is also going to be doing a seminar talking about rum and how to use rum. And so there's just going to be cool stuff going on for folks in hospitality and the service industry on that Monday where you can kind of do a seminar crawl, not exactly a cocktail crawl, which they will be serving drinks, but you literally can do a seminar crawl going from one seminar to another and just adding to your program, being educated from the bar industry. And it's going to be super cool. So that's something that brands wanted us to add, so now we've moved on to be a two-day festival as opposed to just one.
Man, it's going to be amazing, and I love the fact that you have these kind of different it's not just the expo itself this year. I think having the you know, people can come and hear these lectures and talks and stuff is amazing, you know?
Yeah, it's super cool, and like I said, it's educational. I mean, you... So much information you'll be enlightened with within 45 minutes. You're going to go away and your game is going to change. Inside your space and your restaurant and your bar program. Literally, you'll come to the Cocktail Expo, you will be so enlightened with all the stuff, you're going to get charged up and go, we got to get this behind the bar. Yeah, we got to use this knowledge. Like, oh my gosh, it's going to be amazing. And that's why cocktail culture is happening, because you can come down to these kind of conferences, get educated, learn about new products, and change your game at your restaurant and your bar program. And this is our fifth show. And a lot of the products that come down to showcase at the Cocktail Expo, we visit the bars after, and those products are behind the bars. So we know these folks are working together. The Expo brings people together in a meaningful way. The spirits are teaming up with bartenders. They're meeting consumers. Everyone is networking. There's so much good that comes from attending the New York Cocktail Expo. It even surprised me at all the feedback I started to get after. I was like, wow, that's amazing. So it's just a great coming together. But most of all, the heart of it is all about hospitality and having a welcoming attitude. That's been a big conversation for the bar industry. I know, you know, rock star chefs, rock star bartending has had its impact on the industry. And we talk about how good vibes and good hospitality and making sure that you're concentrating on how you make people feel, and that's what's going to create longevity for your bar, your business, and the whole bar industry itself.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because kind of you're part of the reason that I think this has happened. I mean, you know, just not maybe not you specifically, maybe to a degree specifically, but like the actual cocktail aspect of the restaurant business and hospitality industry, where, you know, when I first started in this business 25 years ago, it was, you know, the front of the house, the back of the house, very separated, divided. There's a, you know, the Great Wall of China separates us. You know, we go to work, I do my job, you do your job, whatever. But now, where I think you're seeing less and less of that because it's almost become more of a team effort where you see chefs recognizing the skills of these bartenders and the skills of these cocktail makers and of their programs and almost kind of working with them to pair food with these cocktails. Are you seeing a lot of that? And do you have a lot of chefs coming to the expo? Kind of obviously chefs are coming because we're alcoholics, but chefs coming, you know, to kind of look at food and be a part of it that way.
Yeah, yeah, it's all tied together now. Food and beverage. The bar program is definitely has to be harmonious, you know, with the food program and stuff. And you know, I remember I was doing some chicken wing consulting, coming in, and the bar was serving some good drinks, and the kitchen wanted to do something creative. So it was like, hey, you know, let's do some Mai Tai wings where you've got, you know, it's basically like, you know, your chicken wings are marinated in the Mai Tai, you know, cocktail, and they come out in a scorpion bowl, which is like, you know, a poo-poo platter kind of look where the middle is flaming. Yeah, yeah. And they, yeah. So that's very specific, but absolutely, you know, this is your brand. Your cocktail program can't be one identity and the kitchen be another identity, and they don't belong together. That's like, you know, it's like shaving half of your beard. I don't know. Horrible analogy, but
half your beard.
You know what I mean? Yeah, absolutely. The food program and the bar program has to be doing a dance together nowadays. And if it's not, it can be disconnected. And if you're running, it's not like, you know, you have beers on the menu, fine, beers, this and that. But when you're running a cocktail program, you're really thinking about, for me, consulting, I'm like, well, what are the dishes on the menu? What, for the painkiller, you know, there's, spicy chicken wings. You're eating like, yeah, we're going to go back to chicken wings. That's my deal. You're eating spicy food, spicy chicken wings. Well, the painkiller's got some nice coconut cream in there. It's going to cool you down. Yeah. It's going to complement it really well. And absolutely, that's where the minds are at. And when you visit and you see products on the market, you're thinking, my food program, how is this going to go with the drinks? That's definitely what's happening everywhere I'm going. And if you're not conscious of that, you know, that's where you want to be.
Couple people shouting out Matt and saying hi to him here all over the place, man. Obviously, our friend over at the Guy Corner NYC is saying what's up to Matt. I want you to say
what's up, Brett?
He's digging what you're talking about. And, of course, our friend Dimitri Food Fire Knives says what's up, man. He's a good brother right there.
Dimitri, how are you, man? Cheers.
That's a good brother right there. Big love for Dimitri. He's kicking ass over there at 30 Rock in New York City.
Right on.
And our friend... Rita Barina's chiming in saying she loves Matt and loves what he's talking about. So big love coming all over the place for your brother.
Thank you, Serena. I really appreciate that. That's awesome. That's a good feeling right back at you.
that was creepy. Is Nikki still around there? Is your girl still there? Or did she leave? I'm just trying to figure out.
She's silly. She gave me a dirty look. It's okay.
She should, because that was creepy. I mean, it wasn't so much what you said. It was how you said it. Like, personally, I'm like, I'm sure he's got roofies in that fanny pack he wears. But
yeah, right. I winked at myself in the mirror when I said it. That's what happens.
The weird part was so did I when you said it. That's what made me. That was the weird part. Dave,
look, I'm on my second ball, though.
You know what? I never got back to it, and I wanted to, man. And I know we're running a little bit long here, but I could talk to Matt all night long. Matt's such a great guy to talk to. You mentioned earlier about making cocktails with water. Now, I just got to ask you, at some point, does being Brooklyn hip become not cool anymore? Because water cocktails kind of sounds like getting a nail through my testicle. Like, it sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah, let's not go so literal. I mean, look, you know, you're a chef. Water is a blank canvas. It can take on any flavor. You can infuse anything into it, and it becomes the body spirit. So, for example, starting off simple. I mean, I'm working with a lot of almond milk now too. As the body,
it's not milk. Stop calling it milk. I'm the chef, and the chef, the executive chef Plum has to step up right now when I hear someone say that. It's not milk. Don't call it that. The closest thing you call it is juice.
Almond juice. And
where's
yeah.
Nikki at? Nikki, I'm telling you, almonds don't have teats. You can't milk an almond. You can juice it, but you can't milk
it. She's trying to prove you wrong. She's always trying to play devil's advocate, so she'll go milk some almonds right in front of me.
Let me tell you what. Don't put her up to a challenge. She'll get you. Look, I'm loving coconut water. Coconut water has a texture. It actually tastes like used cereal milk, like when you have Cap'n Crunch and then
Holy
you take
fuck.
Out the cereal.
Yeah.
It tastes like used cereal milk. So it has a
it's almost viscous a little bit, right? That little bit of like almost like aloe water kind of has that little viscosity to it.
Exactly. So now that adds to the texture of your drink. You can infuse your coconut water with anything that you like to shape the flavor. Also, I'm working with a cactus water. Cactus water tastes like it's almost like a mild punch. And also using a red ginseng water. Red ginseng water is almost like has a peanutty, nutty flavor to it. But all of these different waters have interesting nutrients. So, for example, the red ginseng water is like good for all of these different things in your body and your libido. And I'm like, when I serve my cocktail now it's like I'm not only telling the guest or myself what's in the drink, but here's all of the actual nutritional factors that are what's happening to your body. Because I personally believe that if you're going to try to call yourself a mixologist, which is a loved and loathed term because people have a tough time defining it, sure. I believe you can define the term mixology. Not only should you know recipes, technique, how to make a great drink, be a wonderful bar manager, beverage director, execution, training staff, all of those things, but you should know what nutrients are in the components of your cocktail and what happens to them when you mix them, when you shake them, when you blend them. When you blend vegetables, it changes the components, what's happening, which is why when you eat broccoli raw or kale raw or all these other things, your body absorbs the nutrients differently. It breaks down the components when you blend it, so you really should know what's happening to the ingredients when you manipulate them. And so for me, man, oh gosh. I mean, like, I looked at pictures of myself a year and a half ago. I looked like I was 28 years old. I was like, geez, Matt, what happened to you? You moved and you went on vacation and you just started eating and drinking all the things and now you look like all of that stuff. And I was like, what was I doing? I was drinking a lot of water. And, man, you can use topical creams all you want, but it's really the internal thing with water. So now I'm like, I'm getting water back into my system, coconut water, cactus water, red ginseng water, and want to explore what else is out there because the infusions, mixing them with other juices, beet juice, prune juice is now my non-alcoholic rum. You want to make an amazing daiquiri? 2 ounces of prune juice, dried plum juice, 1 ounce of lime juice, use a honey. You can use a 3/4 ounces of honey or, some stevia, maybe a small teaspoon of stevia. You shake that up with 1/2 ounce of pineapple juice. You're going to go, crap, this is the best daiquiri I've ever had, and there's no alcohol in there whatsoever.
Wow.
So I'm totally looking at my bar differently, and I was psyched about health and fitness because alcohol, is starting to get boring. People are not going to Starbucks for alcohol. They're going for caffeine. People, what else can we do with cocktails let's admit it, it's recreational, it's escapism.
It's relaxing.
We don't feel the work week, but there's other stuff. Man, when we were on the hot sauce judging panel for the NYC Hot Sauce Expo, we are getting like burned alive, but the endorphin rush is like this supercharged,
you're high,
lifting feeling. And it's like, okay, great. Well, how about we stop just doing the jalapeno margarita? And why don't you're a beverage director, a bar manager. Why don't you ask your staff to say, hey, give me a spicy cocktail with different peppers. But instead of it just being the flavor, I need to feel what the capsaicin is doing. And I need to feel that endorphin rush. And whoever gives me the best drink that gives me that kind of uplifting feeling that's not about alcohol, but I start to feel charged, that drink is going on the menu.
Fuck yeah. See, dude, you're getting me fired up right now. I'm trying to go make a drink. Dave, what about you? That's some inspiring shit, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm ready to hit the pantry right now and see what's in there.
And Dave, exactly. I just want to point out, Dave, Old Gold doesn't count as a cocktail. Just throwing it at you.
Oh, all right.
That's all we. Well, dude, Matt, you're so right, man. I'm going to tell you, you'll appreciate this, brother. And one of these days, I want to get you over here to the house. Maybe even in the fall, it'll be a lot. Or, well, in the winter, it'll be a lot more fun. I have two maple trees, and I always tap the maple trees to make maple syrup. And so, you know, I'll get 5 gallons of maple tree sap. It's AKA maple water, right? So yeah. It's the water from the tree, and it has this little tiny hint of maple in it, like just this little tiny hint of it, right? Brother, yeah. I mix that with a little bit of like really nice rye bourbon, right? So I get some rye bourbon, shake it up, get it nice and cold, and I'll pour probably, you know, 3 or 4 ounces of this maple water on top of it. Brother, it is one of the most refreshing, greatest, nicest and put like an apple slice in it. It's one of the greatest little cocktails you'll have like during the wintertime. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's maple. It's maple water. What... Brother, it's from the trees in my backyard.
Right, right. That's
fucking
that's awesome.
Dope, dude.
Yeah, sure, it's right, and you feel good about it, too. Yes. And, like, that's what – when you start looking at like, whoa, we have just made a clearing, and we have come up with a category not called cocktails, not called mocktails, but we're starting to call them drinks. They're drinks that were – they're beverages, they're drinks that we're making. And I would love to see a bar that had a beverage program based on those different – experiences and those different sort of feelings we can get from the caffeine, from capsaicin. You know, I take some inspiration from when I used to go to these smoothie places. I'd do my workout or pre-workout, and then I'd go to the smoothie place, and they have this list of boosters. There's like a caffeine boost, there's an immunity boost, there's a memory boost, there's a granola, there's all these things you can put into your drink. And I'm like, well, what if we borrow from the baristas? What if we borrow from the smoothie shops? What if we borrow from low ABV spirit? And we make this kind of bar that the drinks are based on, hey, I want an upward feeling. I want to feel more uplifted. Well, this is the drinks that have that sort of effect on you. Because now it's like alcohol is becoming boring. Is that really all we can offer people? There's so much more out there, and I think we're at our infancy in making drinks and the cocktail programs that we'll start to see in the future that will be innovative. Maybe it's not Brooklyn becoming a parody of itself, sort of what you were saying before, which is sort of happening. But I think that it's the beginning of the century. It's 2018. We're making history and taking it for granted with what all of us are doing right now. And I think that we have a long way to go in making drinks and bar programs when we talk about all those other feelings and components in the drinks that have an effect on the human body.
Dude, right there you have it. Matt, you're such an inspiring guy to talk to, man. You always have something positive to say. You're always in such a great mood. You're always it's such an inspiring guy to really have a conversation with, man. Honestly, when you look at what you've done, I mean, you know, the New York Best Wings Festival, the New York Cocktail Expo, like you've come a very, very long way. What would you say to anybody young entrepreneurs and young culinarians and young mix masters and young drink makers and just all in the business, young in the hospitality business? If you were to give them a piece of advice, man, what would it be?
I would say to learn to love rejection. But start to consider everything that doesn't work out for you as results. Learn from those results. Stay passionate, but most of all, absolutely 100% believe in everything you're doing. Put all your willpower into it, your faith and your positive perspective, and never let that die. And all of those good things will manifest, and you don't let up. You just keep right at it.
Nice, man.
Join tonight.
Oh, go ahead, Dave.
Join tonight. Matt, cool. Joined tonight by Matt Curry, founder of the New York Cocktail Expo, coming up August 19th at the Melrose Ballroom. For tickets and more info, go to nycocktailexpo.com.
And guys, you got to get in there and get some tickets to this event if you haven't done so already. You got to get in there, check it out. Matt throws one hell of an event. He knows what he's doing, and these events definitely touch a lot of people. Matt, what's your favorite drink right now? I know it can change every minute, but right now, what's your drink of choice and something that we should try that maybe we haven't tried in the past?
Well, it probably is a drink that my wonderful girlfriend Nikki is maybe what I'm holding in my hand, the Missionary's Downfall. It's summertime.
I haven't got one of those.
The
Thanks, Nikki.
It's a blended drink with mint leaves and lime and peach liqueur and white rum and pineapple and all these wonderful flavors. It's a delicious drink, the Missionary's Downfall. You got to try that. But one thing that I will say is that for all the listeners, we do have a 50% off.
Oh,
code that's super that you can use. It's Cocktail Fest, so use that code Cocktail Fest and you'll get 50% off your ticket. Because it's crazy, I have a ticket tier on there that's like 4 tickets in one, and
that is already like discounted because it's 4-in-1, and then you apply the 50% off. It's like stupid. It's like stupid. It's like you got to go for it. So 50% off Cocktail Fest for all the listeners of Plum Love Foods tonight. Cheers. Absolutely got to come.
That's a big one. That's a big one. 50% off your ticket. You can get the big inclusion 4-event ticket Matt was just talking about. 50% off, and it's and the promo code is Cocktail Fest. Is that right?
Cocktail Fest. That's right.
All one word, Cocktail Fest, promo code. Make sure you try that. Check out the New York Cocktail Expo. What a great event. What a great deal. How about that? Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Mr. Matt Corey. Matt, you are a pleasure as always, my friend. I always love talking to you. I always love chatting with you and catching up with you. We don't hang out enough. We need to hang out more.
Absolutely.
I apologize for my busy. You text me, and I'm such an asshole friend because you text me in the summertime, and I'm working my ass off. But just know that I see it, and I love you, and I will get back to you. I promise.
You too, man. Thanks so much for having me. I love hanging out with you. It's funny, when you text me back, you always say something ATM, which I was like, okay, why is he telling me that he's taking money out of the machine? I'm like, oh, at the moment. Well,
I thought you were going a whole other way with that. Dave, I know Dave did too. I thought you were going to go the whole ass-to-mouth gimmick there.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, well, that's what they call it, the kids, you know, I don't know. Dave, tell them one more time where to find more information about Matt and the Cocktail Expo.
You can check it out at nycocktailexpo.com.
And promo code Cocktail Expo. Get yourself 50% off the ticket.
Cocktail Fest.
We'll put that out there also for everybody else. I'll put it in the, I'll edit the Instagram post and put it in there as well. Matt, we appreciate you, brother. Here's the one issue we have. I need you to hang up because I can't hang up on you yet via Skype. I can mute you, but I can't hang up on you.
Okay, I'll be mute. I'm going to hang up. Thank you to all the listeners, Serena, Dimitri, and Ray. Thanks to everybody. I will see you at the expo. Cheers.
There he is. My man. Thank you, Matt, very much. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. The one and only Mr. Matt Corey, the founder of the New York Cocktail Expo. If you're looking for an entrepreneur, a guy to follow, a guy to check out, a guy to be a part of, Matt Corey is the man, dude. New York Best Wings Festival, the New York Cocktail Expo. This dude can make events happen. Dave, what'd you think?
Awesome. Actually, if I'm out that way around then, I'm going to see if I can go and check that out.
100%. Dude, that discount code, Cocktail Fest, gets you 50% off like the main big ticket, which is, dude, that gets a ticket like to nothing.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. So, yeah, I think a lot of the listeners will be checking it out. It's nycocktailexpo.com.
Yeah, nycocktailexpo.com, man. What a great show, man. Dave, great job, man. You're really getting the hang of this co-host thing, man. I'm appreciating you coming in here. I'm playing your song right now.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm going to have to, like, get up and kind of do a strut around the room.
There you go. There you go. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you checking out the program tonight. And like I said, it's already come out. The Brooklyn Live episode should be live here on the Plum Love Foods feed if you want to check that program out itself. A lot of fun. Our friend Jamie Sire was there. Of course, Matt was there. And we had music by the one and only Des Rocks from Brooklyn. What a great guy. One of my favorite artists these days. He's a guitar player from a band called Secret Weapons, which is a great fucking band, dude.
Awesome.
Yeah, he did three songs for us on the show, which is awesome, and much love to him. Danny, we love you, buddy. And, of course, Matt, big shout-out to you, man. Thank you. Make sure you check out nycocktailexpo.com. Use promo code COCKTAILFEST to get yourself 50% off tickets, and all the tickets, all of them, not just, like, the general admission, but all of them, Dave. You can use that promo code and get discounts all over the place.
Nice. Yeah, I'm definitely I'm going to see if I can make it out there for that.
Hell, fuck yeah, that's what's up, man. Dave, thank you, brother. You did a great job tonight. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You're always welcome, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Chef Plum. Please rate, review, and subscribe to this program. It helps with everything. And remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Big shout out to the New York Cocktail Expo, August 19th.
Why are we arguing?
Give it the time it deserves.
Shut the fuck up for 30 seconds. You might learn
next Monday.
Something.
Peace.